well read. So, so well, well read. So, so that's a song for mine.
Thank you for listening to one of the audio messages from Cornerstone Church Airdrie. My name is Brad, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead campus pastor and primary preaching voice at Cornerstone Church Airdrie. So if it's me you're hearing speak today, or if it's someone else, our desire is still the same. We pray that you are so encouraged, that you are built up, challenged, and inspired. Through these messages, our hope for you is that you would grow in knowing God, knowing His hope, knowing His purpose, and knowing His power. We believe that the God who spoke all through Scripture is still speaking to us today, and we pray that as you listen to this message, the heart of God would be speaking to you. Enjoy the message.
Even when we crash like water, here comes water.
If you have your Bibles and you'd like to follow along this morning, you can turn to John chapter 2. Now, with this being Pastor's Appreciation Sunday and all of that, you can write down the title of the message if you would like this morning. The title of the message is 10 Reasons You Should Appreciate Me More. So you can write that down. We're going to have 10 points. We're going to walk through, and I'm going to give you 10 reasons why you're not appreciating me enough. No, that's not at all what we're going to do. But what I do want to talk about this morning is a bit of an extension of Pastor's Appreciation, a bit of an extension of the things that we are talking about and that we're going to be talking about this morning. What I want to talk to you about this morning is I want to talk to you about this. About this. About us. And the importance of this. The importance of gathering together. I want to talk to you about why I believe in the church. Why this is important. Why this matters. Bill Hybels was a pastor in the U.S., and he was famous for a lot of things. Most of them were good. Now, not so much. But one of the things that Bill Hybels said that I think rings so very true is this. He said, the local church is the hope of the world. And what is meant by that is the way that God's going to change Airdrie, the way that God's going to change Canada, the way that God's going to change the world is through local churches. Just like us. It's not going to be through a nonprofit organization. It's not going to be through some parachurch organization. But God has created and is going to use the local church to be the hope of the world. And so we're going to start in John chapter 2. It's a little tricky to say which passage to turn to, because once we get to John chapter 2, we're going to be all over the place after that. But at least we can start collectively in John 2. But I want to start by looking at this event that takes place early in the life of Jesus. And in John chapter 2, Jesus walks into the temple in Jerusalem. He walks into what amounts to a church. And then when he walks in, watch what happens here. In the temple courts, he, that's Jesus, found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. They had a practice where you brought in your money, but you didn't want to give your money because your money was fallen in sin and all of these things. And so what you had to do, what you were supposed to do, was you'd bring in your money, and then you'd buy other money at a fee, of course, but this money had been blessed. This was good Jewish money. So your money was no good. So you bought this money at an exchange, like if you bought foreign currency or whatever, and then that's the money you could go give. So they were exchanging money. So Jesus made a whip out of cords. and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and he overturned the tables. What Jesus is seeing is so upsetting to him, is so frustrating, is so rage-inducing of what the church, what the temple had become, that he begins to flip over tables and knock over things. And he makes a whip to drive the people and the cattle and all of the stuff out of the church. And it says, to those he sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. Then verse 17 says, his disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. So Jesus walks into this church and walks into the church and he sees what's happening. And he's really upset by it. And he says, well, guys, stop it. Cut this out. This is not what the house of God is supposed to be. This is not what my father's house is supposed to be. This is not what church should be. Now, in another place, when Jesus is talking about church and what the church should be, he says, my father's house or my house shall be a house of prayer. Not of buying and selling cattle, not of exchanging money. But let me make you a promise. Anytime you come to Cornerstone Church, there are two things that we will give you for free. We will give you coffee for free, and we will give you prayer for free. We had some people here a few weeks ago, and they were new to church. And they had mentioned to Yvonne that they were hoping that I would pray for them. But I had moved on from the front. And he'll still pray for you. Really? And so I went over and I went to go pray. And they said, we can just come and you'll pray for us? Yes, that is my promise to you. That whatever I'm doing, wherever I am, whatever is going on, if you need somebody to pray for you, I will pray for you. I will never, ever, ever, well, probably tell you I can't. If Yvonne's going to the hospital for, you know, there's always those. But as much as it's within my control, I will never tell you I won't pray for you. Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. And so we need to pray for each other. And we prayed for each other this morning as we lifted up each other in prayer. And that is what Jesus said, don't turn my father's house into a market. Don't turn my father's house into a den of thieves and robbers. Don't do that. My house is going to be a house of prayer. And Jesus sees what's happening, and it's not what's supposed to be happening. So he begins flipping over tables and throwing people out. And in this moment, some of the disciples, they're reminded of a verse from Psalms. And that verse comes tumbling back into their minds, and they go, oh, right. Being good Jewish boys, they remembered all the things they memorized and said, remember, it says in Psalms that zeal for your house will consume me. That's what's happening here. And today, that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about this verse. Zeal for your house will consume me. Being true in my life and being true in your life. How we can live that out. I want to talk to you about having a zeal for the house of God. Zeal for church. Zeal for this thing that God is using to be the hope of the world. That our heart's cry would be a verse found in Psalm chapter 26, verse 8 that said, Lord, I love the house where you live. The place where your glory dwells, that the cry of our hearts would be, God, I love your house. I love, in another place in Psalms, it'll say, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. That come Sunday morning, church wouldn't just be another thing that you have to do before you can do the other stuff that you really want to do. But that you would wake up Sunday morning and you would say, I am so glad we get to go to the house of the Lord today. I am so excited to get to be in his presence with my church family, and it will just be great. Lord, I love the church. And you know, I really do love church. I really do. I really love coming to church with you. I struggle being away on holidays because I like being here with you. It's not like, oh, I gotta go to work. I like it. And when I'm not here with you, I feel incomplete. And it's not a bad thing. Actually, last Sunday morning, I went to the gym on Sunday morning because we didn't have time on Saturday for me to go. So Sunday morning while you were here, I was at the gym. And that was a weird feeling. And I thought to myself, well, this is a good time to go because I'm not going to run into anybody from church. But if I do, they're the ones who are going to feel guilty. So there you go. But the pastor, I better go. They will get their cardio in running out of the gym real fast. But I love being here with you. I love the worship at our church. Anybody else? I love the preaching from God's word. I love the community of our church. I love being one of the last people along with the OJs to leave every week. I just love church. I love being with you guys. But it's not enough that we just love church. It's not enough that we just love being together. Because you're good people, so it's easy to love being with you. It's not hard. It's not this miraculous intervention of God in my life that I like you. You're likable. And so it's not hard for me to do that. But what we need is not that we should just love the church, but we need to believe in the church. We need to believe that when we come together, it's not just us getting together because we like each other and we're friends, but we need to believe that when we come together as the church, that this matters. That this makes a difference, that we're doing something more than just hanging out together. But when we come together, when we hang out together, when we're together with our friends and our family and all of these things, that it's bigger than that, that it makes a difference. And today I do actually want to give you three reasons, not 10 reasons why you should appreciate me, but three reasons why you should believe in the church. The first reason to believe in the church is that the church is God's plan. Church, it's not our plan. It's not our idea. It's God's plan. The church is God's idea. When God sat down and he looked at Airdrie and he looked at Canada and he said, how am I going to change Airdrie? How am I going to change Canada? How am I going to change the world? Every tribe, every tongue, every nation. How am I going to do this? He said, I'm going to use one vehicle. I'm going to use the local church. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul, the Apostle Paul, will say that because of the grace that he's been given to him to make plain to everyone the administration of the mystery, which for ages was kept hidden in God, who created all things, his intent was now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says, going forward, the intention is that now through the church, what was a mystery, what was hidden, what people couldn't figure out on their own, now it's God's intent that through the church would declare that Jesus is good. The church would declare that Jesus forgives, that Jesus is alive, that the hope of the gospel is for all of us. The church is God's plan. The church is God's vision. Listen to this. The church doesn't have a vision from God. God's vision has a church. We don't play a part in God's vision. We are God's vision. God, the church doesn't get deposited something from God as a part of his vision. God's vision has a church. We are God's vision. We are God's plan. We are God's ministers of reconciliation, the Bible will say that we've been charged with the ministry of reconciliation. We're God's plan. The church doesn't have a vision from God. God's vision has a church. A church that's alive, a church that's electric, a church where miracles can happen, a church where people can come and encounter the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, where salvation can happen, where deliverance can happen. God's vision has a church that worships Him, a church that prays, a church that seeks His face, a church that serves, a church that sacrifices, a church that lifts up His name, a church that loves to give. God's vision has a church. The church is God's idea. It's God's plan. This isn't something we came up with and said, you know what would be great? But God said, this is my plan. Do you know what will be great? I'm going to have people come together, and they're going to be united together in my spirit, and they're going to come together, and the world's going to look at this mishmash, this collection of people that don't particularly make sense, and say there's got to be something going on there because something is taking place. And then so God sets up how God in His word sets up how this church structure is going to work. He says at the head of the church, it's not going to be a bishop. It's not going to be an elder. It's not going to be a deacon. It's not going to be a preacher or a pastor. He says, the head of the church, it's going to be my son, Jesus. And that's the number two reason why we need to believe in the church. Because the church belongs to Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says, He, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that everything in everything He might have supremacy. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the guy, the big idea. And the most importantly, and this is something we can't miss when we talk about the church belonging to Jesus, Jesus said He is the one who is building His church. That He's not just the head of the church, but He says, I'm going to build this thing that's God's intention. God says, and I'm going to take care of it. Every single Sunday morning, I stand out in the parking lot about 10 o'clock in the morning, because that's usually kind of when everything is set and I've got kind of this blank spot in time. And so every Sunday morning, no matter how cold it is, I'll go stand out in the parking lot and I'll turn and I'll face our church. And it's gotten a little more difficult with the bakery next door because there's more traffic in the parking lot. Usually there was nobody there. Now it's a little more difficult, but I will turn and I will face our church and I will say, God, You promised You're going to build this. Your promise to me as the pastor of this church is that I'm not going to do this. Your promise to me is that You're going to build this church, and I pray that over our church and over our service. Jesus, You promised You're going to build this church. So build Your church today. Build Your church. Build our service. Build our people. Friends, it's His promise. We're just walking in it. And so I declare every Sunday morning, God, You build the church, and I'll do my best. In the book of Matthew, Jesus speaks to Peter, who in just a couple of verses after He says this, Peter's going to be used by the devil to push Jesus off of His course. He's going to be used by the devil to essentially tempt Jesus to do things differently than what God would have. And then even in a couple more verses, this guy Peter is going to be guilty of denying Jesus three times. But to this guy, after Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. This proves that God can use crooked sticks to make straight lines. Because Peter is a crooked stick. He is not straight and true. He's not lumber. He's a branch. But yet, and there's some controversy and there's some discussion about, well, what exactly is the rock? Is the rock talking about Peter and him being the foundation of the church? Or is it the rock that Jesus is going to build his church on? The truth that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? The point of it all is that Jesus says, I am going to build my church. And he is going to use Peter, and it is going to be built on the truth that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But Jesus said, I will build my church. Whose church is it? And who's going to build it? That's right. My job here as the pastor of Cornerstone Church, Airdrie, is the campus pastor here. I am a steward of Cornerstone. I am not the owner of Cornerstone. This is not my building. You are not my church. This is not my church. This is not my building. I'm a steward. I am a shepherd of someone else's flock. I'm not the owner. None of it belongs to me. It's all God's. And Jesus says that this is his church. And he is going to build it. Now, when we talk about the church, there's always a tension that exists. What exactly are we talking about? Because it's hard to peg down when we say the church, what are we talking about the church? Because it's not this space and it's not this building, but this building and this space are kind of still what we're talking about. It's not. But it is, but it's not, but it is. It's more than that. Reason number three to believe in the church is because the church is a family. We need to understand that this church is not only the house of God, but the church is also the people of God. The people of God come to the house of God to worship. But when we come through the doors, it's not at that moment that we've become the church. And at the moment we've gathered at, or at that moment we have gathered as the church. As the church of God comes together. But we don't become the church when we walk through the doors. And we don't disband as the church when we leave. The church comes together and the church gathers as the church. And then the church leaves. The church is not just the services. The church is not just the bricks and mortar. The church is not just the buildings. Church is people getting together under the umbrella and under the name of Jesus Christ. People who recognize that when we were lost and broken and dead in our sin, our addictions and our mess, Jesus never gave up on us. But he found us. And by his grace, he saved us and called us by name and put us into community together. In Psalm chapter 68, it says this about God and what he does for us in terms of community and family. It says, God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When God wants to bless us, he sets us in community. When God knows that we need something, he sets us in community. The blessings of God, it's not a new car. It's not a huge bank account. But when God wants to really give you something, he gives you friendship. He gives you relationship. And he gives you community. The best thing that we have going, Cornerstone, it's not our singing, and it's not our preaching. The best thing that we have going for us is the community that God has given us. as we go through life together, we are going to go as a family. Talked about this just at the beginning of the time. Our family has been blessed as we've walked through Yvonne's surgery, the incredible outpouring of love and generosity that you've shared with our family. But if you need someone to cry with, we are going to weep with you. And if you need someone to celebrate with, we're going to rejoice with you. We have a world champion karate fighter. We can celebrate that. That's a part of our church. We celebrate engagements. We celebrate boxing victories. We celebrate together. And we stand and we pray for Shannon. And we stand and we pray for Wendy. And we support and love and care for each other. We are together because we follow Jesus together. And as family, we go. You are home here. You are in community here. You belong here. You are home here. Welcome home. You don't have to be something you're not. You don't have to fake it till you make it. You don't have to act like you've got it all together if you don't have it all together. You just need to know that you belong here and that you are home here. You are part of our family. You are part of our community. The community of church, it's only complete when we are together, all of us together. The church needs you. You need the church, but the church desperately needs you. There's something about you coming and understanding that you don't just attend church, but when you come as a part of a church, you are becoming part of a community, and that community needs you. We're not the same without you. We need your gifts. We need your talents. We need your faith. We need your treasure. We need your time. We are not the church without you. We can't do what we're called to do without you. At Cornerstone Church, we don't just want you. We need you. We're not the same without you. We can't touch Airdrie without you. We can't see revival without you. You are part of the community here, and when you are part of the community, that means that the community needs all the parts of the community, or it's not the community. Remember the verse that we read earlier that said that God sets people in families. The word that's used there for sets, it gives a sense of to sit, to remain, to dwell. That means with purpose and intention. What that means is that you didn't just find a church, that you didn't just end up here, that God put you here, God set you here to dwell here, to be part of the community here. And that means you have a part to play in the community. And that means you have things to offer inside of the community. Now, perhaps as we talk about that and you look around the room and you see the other people that God has set here, you may think to yourself, maybe I don't believe in us so much. When I look at all these people, oh, these are the people this is it. But God sets us together because he knows who and what we are supposed to be. And as we become more of who God has created us to be, we're created to do this together. It's not that the church is doing this. We are the church. It's not you guys or this is what the church should do. Us, we are together. And if you don't believe that or accept that, what will happen is that you'll come to a service. Maybe you'll come to some services. And it'll be nice. I think our worship team is pretty talented. And so you'll enjoy the music. Hopefully you'll tolerate the preaching. But you'll come and it'll be a nice experience. You'll enjoy it. But you'll leave. Because God, and when you leave, you'll get this nagging sense of, I don't know if that's really what I was looking for. I don't know if that's really where I'm supposed to be. Because God didn't call you to be a part of a service. God didn't call you to go to a church service. God called you to be a part of a community. God called you to be a part of a family. The verse does not say God sets the lonely in a church service. It says God sets the lonely in a family. And we can be the family, but we've got to want to be the family. And so when we come to church, we come with a heart of this is my family. God set you in a community and God set you in a family. We need each other. The Bible will talk about how the body of Christ, how the church that we read earlier that Jesus is the head of, that it's like a human body. And that each part of that body matters. And so the eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. You're not important. And the foot can't look at itself and say, man, I don't count because I'm not a hand. But when we come together as the body of Christ, we all have our own part to play. And some of us are eyes, and some of us are ears, and some of us are feet, and some of us are hands, and some of us are knees, and you may feel like you're an appendix. But even the appendix, when it's not well, the whole body experiences it. We are all part of the body of Christ. And when we come together, we all have a part to play. We all have a purpose to play. We are all in this together. And it's in our differences. It's our differences that make us brilliant. It's our differences that make us beautiful. And it's our differences that make us effective. The church doesn't have a vision. God's vision has a church. And that church is built and headed by Jesus Christ. And the church is made up of a community of different people with different stories, gifts, talents, personalities that all are doing their best to love each other. I am so thankful that somehow God has seen fit to allow me to pastor you, to steward this body of believers. I so love you. And I so love this church. But more than that, I believe in you. And I believe in this church.
Oh, are we rivers crossing every valley?
Thanks again for listening to the message. I pray that your heart was blessed by what God had to say today. If you'd like to connect further with Cornerstone Church Airdrie, there's a couple things that you can do. You can find us on the internet at cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com and select Airdrie from the homepage. If you'd like to connect to a pastor at the church, you can do that through our website. Once you're on the Airdrie page, just click on the New Here tab in the main menu and our campus pastor from the drop-down menu. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Cornerstone Airdrie, or you can follow us on Twitter at CS Airdrie. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and get new content delivered directly to you. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. That helps people find us easier. We're so grateful to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our community in Airdrie and with you today. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. And you are a part of that family. As family we go.
Oh, we know.